This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Three Pentecost Tuesdays E. First posted July 15, 2010, to Samuel 11:26 to 12:10, 13 to 15. Speaking truth to power. Background: King David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who became pregnant, to Samuel 11:1-5. Then, to avoid public censure, David had Uriah killed in battle, to Samuel 11:14-21. Text paraphrase: when Bathsheba heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him, and when the period of mourning was finished, David had her brought to him, and she became his wife and delivered the son conceived in adultery. But what David had done displeased the Lord. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, and Nathan told David the parable of the ewe, female, lamb. There was a rich man who had many flocks and herds, and a poor man who had only a single ewe. The ewe was regarded as a member of the poor man's family. She ate and slept with the poor man. The rich man had a guest visiting, and was unwilling to take one of his own lambs to prepare for dinner for his guest, so he took the poor man's lamb. When David heard this, he became angry with the obvious injustice, and he told Nathan that the man who had done so deserved to die, and should restore four lambs to the poor man for the rich man's deed and his lack of pity. Then Nathan told David that David was that rich man. Nathan declared the word of the Lord that God had anointed David to be king of Israel. God had delivered him out of the hand of King Saul, David's predecessor, and had given David Saul's house and Saul's wives, as was the custom of the time, to Samuel 16:21-22, 1 Kings 17:25. God had given David the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and if all that were not enough, God would have doubled that. Why then had David despised God's word and done what was evil in God's judgment? David had taken Uriah's wife and had caused Uriah's death by the sword of the Ammonites. So God declared that David's house would never be free of strife, because David had disregarded God and had taken Bathsheba as his wife. Then David confessed to Nathan that he had sinned against the Lord, and Nathan pronounced David's absolution. God had forgiven David's sin and David would not die for it, but that the son born of adultery would die, because by that deed of adultery, David had utterly scorned the Lord. Then Nathan returned to his house, and the Lord struck the child of David's adultery and it became sick. Commentary: speaking truth to power is a risky business. The king could have had Nathan killed on the spot. Moreover, our human nature makes us think that whatever we do is all right. What we would recognize as obvious injustice in the behavior of others is not easy for us to recognize and acknowledge in ourselves. No matter how much we have, we always seem to want more. Material possessions and worldly accomplishments can never truly satisfy. Our eternal salvation depends upon God's forgiveness, and that forgiveness is only through faith, obedient trust, in Jesus Christ. The body and blood of Jesus shed on the cross is the only sacrifice acceptable to God for our forgiveness and salvation. God has appointed Jesus to be the judge and the standard of judgment by which all will be judged. We have all sinned and fall short of God's righteousness, Romans 3:23. 1 John 1:8-10, and the penalty for sin, disobedience of God's word, in the Bible and in Jesus Christ, the living word, John 1:14, is eternal death, Romans 6:23. Jesus is God's only provision for our forgiveness and salvation, Acts 4:12, see God's plan of salvation, sidebar, right? Unless we recognize and acknowledge our sinfulness, we cannot receive God's forgiveness. But too often in society and even in the church today, people are unwilling to hear talk about sin, death, and hell. People were no different in Israel in the time of Jesus' physical ministry. Jesus spoke truth to the people in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, and they thought his teachings were so offensive that they tried to throw him off a cliff, Luke 4:16-30. As a result, Jesus moved to Capernaum. The people lost the benefit of the teaching and healing only Jesus can provide, Matthew 14:54-58. Paul told Timothy that the time would come when people would not endure sound teaching but would get for themselves teachers who would tickle their ears with teachings to their liking, to Timothy 4:3-4, settling for myths rather than truth. That time has come. Jesus is truth, John 14:6. Unless we are willing to hear unpleasant truths about ourselves, we cut ourselves off from the source of truth and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. Like David, we all deserve to die eternally, but God loves us and doesn't want us to perish eternally, Romans 5:8, John 3:16-17, and he will forgive our sin and give us eternal life. But our sins may cause earthly consequences that cannot be undone, and we may have to live with those consequences. I didn't repent and come to saving faith in Jesus until midlife. Up to then, I had done a lot of things which seemed right to me at the time, but of which I'm now ashamed. How much better it would have been for me to have come to be spiritually born again, John 3:3-5-8, earlier in my life, so that I wouldn't have so many shameful regrets, and would have had more time to do the one thing in life which has eternal value, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 19:2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?